Admiral Mackenzie was in charge of the Navy, and he was visiting his colleague, General Marshall, who was in charge of the Army. Mackenzie arrives at the military camp and is greeted by Marshall. They both walk around the place. Mackenzie asks, "So, how are your men?" "Very well trained, Admiral Mackenzie." "I hope so. You see, my men over at the Navy are so well trained, you can see they're the bravest men all over the country." "Well, my men are very brave, too." "I'd like to see that." So Marshall calls Private Johnson and says, "Private Johnson, I want you to stop that tank coming here with your body." "Are you crazy? It'd kill me, you idiot. I'm out of here." As Private Johnson ran away, Marshall turned to a bewildered Mackenzie and said, "You see, you have to be pretty brave to talk like that to a general." I disagree with the general. Whatever punishment Mackenzie might have received from his commanding officer, it would have to be better than being dead. And once that punishment was over, I suspect he'd be dishonorably discharged. So, was he smart or not? At least he made a choice. He chose to stay alive. And if he does stay alive, then he can still fight another day. Which is exactly the predicament we all find ourselves in today. So far, most of us have not been put to death by the corrupt regime running things in Washington. Fortunately, only a few J6ers have died in captivity, some by their own hands, as they couldn't tolerate the unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment, torture, they've had to endure for now 3 years without ever having a trial, because if given a jury trial, any sane jurors would vote to acquit. But no, those hundreds are being held as examples to deter other people from disputing rigged election results, which the evil deep state wants to perpetrate on the country again this November, assuming we have a real election at all. Most of us are still able to live our lives mostly free and unhindered by the evil powers, because most of us do not have hundreds of thousands to millions of followers on social media platforms. In the eyes of the deep state in particular, and the world in general, we don't matter. We're not worth the effort to shut up, because there's so few of us, and we haven't the power and influence to hinder their operations or thwart their plans. But they've made a truly fatal miscalculation. Most all those people, while there are a few exceptions, are godless Marxist atheists. They believe in themselves and their wondrous plans for humanity's blessed future, a future that ensures they remain on top of all things and live luxurious lives of leisure while the rest of us peons all pay for it. It will work for them until the rest of us all start dying off and can no longer produce the wealth and commodities the ruling class needs. Eventually, history has shown, the whole system will collapse in on itself. But we cannot wait for that to happen. Do we want to allow ourselves and others to be oppressed, walked over, worked to death, stolen from, silenced, punished, imprisoned, experimented upon, bullied, tortured, and summarily exterminated when we're no longer useful to the regime? Or do we want to pay lip service to the overlords, that we can live in peace and maintain our diminishing prosperity for as long as possible by willingly or at least tacitly supporting the regime? Or do we want to stand up, be counted, and actively fight against today's evils? In short, do we want to settle being pawns who just want to peacefully survive, Or do we want to be active players in this giant chessboard of a war between God and Satan and his angelic agents of evil? For that's what all this is. Did you know that you and I were all born in wartime? This cosmic war has been raging for many thousands, perhaps many millions of years. Those who study these things are really only aware of the latest major phase of this war, which began when we were first born, created as Adam and Eve. While most people are unaware, they're living on an ancient, active battlefield called Earth. Spiritual bombs are falling all around. Evil spirits darken our eyes, invade our homes, needle our loved ones, or worse. Depending on each of our relationships with Christ Jesus, we are more or less subject to evil's influences. Why else did our Lord instruct us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil"? For if we fall into temptation, then sin, as Adam and Eve did, then we've opened ourselves up to the influences and worse of evil. As Adam and Eve lost their protective spiritual covering from their relationship with Father God, the devil was then only too happy to move right in. For it is to the extent that we remain in right and correct relationship with the Holy Spirit of God that we remain protected from evil's onslaughts. Recall what Paul teaches in Ephesians 6:14 and 16-18. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all His believers. For we who have thrown in our lot with Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, have enlisted in the great cosmic war to restore all things to the perfection and new perfection that God originally created all things with. All traces of sin and corruption will be eliminated. As Revelation promises us, we will all inhabit new heavens and a new earth. No longer will the spiritual realm be veiled from us, hidden from us. We will all be able to see everything as it really is. Even to look upon God Himself, if we would so dare. But in humility and great love, we will content ourselves to just bask in His love, light, life, as we nestle ourselves in the immensity of His spiritual personhood. We did not sign up to give our lives to Lord Jesus in order to be blessed and live happily ever after. In other words, just to live with fat bank accounts, grand homes, gourmet meals, and traipse around the world, lording it over those less fortunate souls who live less rewarding lives, whose expense pays for our luxuries. Those believers who think this way are no better than the unbelievers who crowd the highways and byways of power, wealth, celebrity, and glitz, thinking they somehow have achieved the pinnacle of success and have everything in life under their control. Someday, they all will see through their self-deception and realize that it was all an illusion, a beautiful illusion, a reality that blinked out of existence far quicker than it ever took to accumulate it. The vast majority of pawns can only dream of such worldly glories. But we who take up the spiritual arms and armor of the Lord have positioned ourselves as players in this life, and do not allow ourselves to be acted upon, but rather we act upon the unseen battles of this life. God could just easily, simply restore all things in an instant if he so desired, for he is God, and even his enemies are dependent on him for their very survival and ability to act in this current space-time. But God is so godly, that is, so infinitely beyond everything that we can possibly imagine or think, that he uses all things, even the very evil angels, Satan himself, to bring about his perfect and new creation he's bringing about. For we who are players instead of pawns, he's using as we serve him and pray passionately in the Spirit to bring about during each of our own short lives the reconstruction of our little spheres of influence in people and places more and more into its final resurrected, renewed, glorious new creation. Because God chose us, each of us, to become his sons and daughters, younger brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus, from before this earth was even created, he chose us. He has a set plan for each of our lives that will bring immense glory to himself as his enemies behold just how incredibly stupid, impotent, and foolish they have always been in supposing they could successfully oppose his ways and being. It's amazing that Moses prophesied the destiny of the Israelites thousands of years into the future before they even set foot in the promised land for the very first time. God showed him what they would do, how they would sin, bring judgment upon themselves, and by God's inconceivable love, grace, and mercy, eventually be restored to the land, even though they did not possibly deserve it in the slightest. Moses foresaw our own day. And yet he remained faithful to God's purposes for his life in leading the people for his appointed time on this earth. Just as we each are living today, this is our time on earth. It's no mistake, for God makes no mistakes. We're here, and we're players who are fighting the devil's schemes in these end times, submerging ourselves in his word, the Bible, to fully equip ourselves to withstand the attacks of evil in order to protect those who have not yet come to realize just who they are, whose they are, and who God is. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you chose each and every one of us for these days in 2024 that we are living in right now. We thank you that not only have you chosen us, but that you did not leave us to ourselves or leave us unprotected, for you have provided all your arms and armor for us to put on in prayer each day as we wake to live victoriously in this life, to protect those around us who do not yet know you, who they are, or who you are. We pray all of this for your sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.